right, you can go ahead and open your Bibles up to Proverbs chapter 2 if you would. I'm sorry, Proverbs 1. Proverbs 2 last week. I do things backwards sometimes. Proverbs chapter 1 verse 10 is where we're going to be. I did want to mention, if you've not turned in your faith promise commitment card from our missions conference, it's not too late to do that. You can do that. Just stick that in any offering plate as it goes through. And we'll add that. That way we can figure out, Lord willing, we can take on some more missionaries. I sure hope we can do that. I'm praying we can do that. But you still have the opportunity to do that. You can turn that in and then just start. The giving's already started. Last week was the first week to give towards this new year of missions. So if you haven't partaken of that yet, you still can. We'd love to have you with that. All right, we're in Proverbs chapter 1, verse number 10. We're looking through our series here, Walking in Wisdom. And I've titled this, Walk Not Thou in the Way of the Fool. Walk not thou in the way of the fool. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 10. The Bible says, My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If they say, Come with us, let us lay wait for blood. Let us lurk privily for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them up alive as the grave, and whole as those that go down into the pit. We shall find all precious substance. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in thy lot among us. Let us all have one purse. My son, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path. For their feet run to evil and make haste to shed blood. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird, and they lay wait for their own blood. They lurk privily for their own lives. So are the ways of everyone that is greedy of gain, which taketh away the life of the owners thereof. Let's pray. Father, I ask you to just help us. We come to your word, Lord. Help us walk in wisdom. We make foolish decisions quite often, God. Help us do less of that. Please help us walk in wisdom. Maybe someone's on that path right now, a path towards destruction. And I pray you'd shake them up, Lord. Turn them back to you. Help them. Get their attention. Please, Lord, use this. Use me. I just want to be yielded to you. Say what you'd have me to say. I'm nothing special. God, just use us, please. Help each of us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Walk not thou in the way of the fool. You know, this applies so much to our lives. You look at when our children are young, maybe 7 or 8. It doesn't apply so much. It does. I mean, you can see, you know, when maybe even with toddlers, 2 and 3 year olds, you can tell, you know, when they come home, maybe saying a cuss word, like, where'd they pick that up? They didn't get it here, you know, and they'll pick those things up from maybe some kid that they're in daycare with or something, or even just, you know, you go to McDonald's or something, and you let them play on the playground there, and they pick it up from some kid there, and all of us are susceptible to that, and it starts at a very young age, but I say it really kicks in strong once we hit that 12, 13, 14 age range. And it's from that point on for the rest of your life is really, it's that strong. We can see it when they're younger, but you just have more control, I guess, if I could say it like that, over your children. But at some point, they start to develop a mind of their own, and they're going to make their own decisions. And so it's from that point on for the rest of our life, you have to decide, am I going to walk in the way of the fool, or am I going to walk in the way of wisdom? And the way of the fool is strong, and it'll draw us all towards that. And we have to definitely watch and guard ourselves with that. You know, the devil's an expert at making the way of the fool look enticing. It says right there in verse 10, My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. He makes it look good. And, I mean, you're lying to yourself and to me if you say he doesn't. Why do so many people fall for sin? Why are so many people trapped in lives of sin? And I'm not talking saved people, now I'm talking lost people. How come most of the world is in bondage to sin? Because it looks good. It does. The Bible says there's pleasure in sin for a season. There's pleasure in it. And the devil makes it look good. He can make it look so good that we'll fight over getting something that's only going to hurt us. People will fight over what is going to hurt them. I mean, we could look at drugs and what a drug addict will do. They'll steal from their own family and do all these things. And you could look at an alcoholic and the things that they'll do, how they'll harm people. Why? To get after their sin, to get after the thing that they love. But let's bring it down to maybe all of us aren't there. And I've never been that bad, or maybe I was that. I'm not anymore, but that doesn't really affect me so much anymore. But let's bring it down to where we're at here. I think coming up, what do we got? Thanksgiving. I love Thanksgiving. I'm looking forward to Thanksgiving. I love this whole season we're about to enter into. I just love it. I enjoy it. I love walking outside on a cool night and you can smell the wood in the air and you can smell the fires burning. I love that smell. I just enjoy this season. We got Thanksgiving and then we got what? Black Friday. Black Friday starting on like Black Thursday now, right? And look at just a few years ago, I remember reading about people in Walmart being trampled to death. Trampled to death or stabbed. Or getting in a fist fight. Yeah, because they want that item. You say, I'm not a drug addict. I don't have to worry about that. I'm not an alcoholic. I don't have to worry about that. Well, how about your greed? We want something so bad, and we've been enticed with it, and they pump it into us, and get out here, get this super deal, and we're going to set it up so it's set up for mayhem. You know, so you rush and you just like bum rush each other and they're running through the store. And we've got three of them set up and hopefully you can find it in time and get to their cash register before someone jumps you for it. And people are going for that. Greed. Greed. Why? To be destroyed? To be trampled for junk that you're not going to care about in a month? Right? How many of you have ever wanted something so bad? I mean, I think back to when I was a kid, just looking at something I wanted so bad, some toy that I wanted so bad, I couldn't wait. I'd think about it, I'd dream about it, I'd look at it in the magazines, I'd go to the store and look at it, and I was like, oh, I just want that! And then you get it, and you're just so excited, and, oh, I get to play with this thing, and then about a month later, you're just like throwing it. You don't care. But the devil made it look good, didn't he? He knows what's needed. Just going back to Black Friday, you know, you go through all that mayhem, that mess, fighting for stuff. It doesn't end right there, though. You get it. Oh, hey, Merry Christmas. Had a great Christmas and the gifts and everything. And everyone got stuff. Maybe you didn't go through all that. Maybe you didn't do the fighting, scratching, clawing, you know, tripping people, you know, cutting them off with your cart so you could get to it. Or, you know, you got your blocker going. You go and I'm going to get it. You just block everyone out of the way. I mean, however it's going to be, maybe you didn't go through all that mess. But man, you sure ran it up on the credit card. And now the bondage that comes with it. Oh, we enjoyed it so much. And a year later, we're still paying for it. Why? Well, we got to make our kids happy. We got to compete with so-and-so over there. Does it matter? My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. But Satan makes it look good, doesn't he? He does. You know, the way of the fool ends in destruction. It does. You can read all about it in the book of Proverbs and we'll get to it. But, you know, probably all of us would say that we're not fools and don't want to be called a fool, but do we behave as fools at times? I can say, yes, I have. I don't want to, but I have. Are you following the devil's enticement and walking in the way of the fool? Ask yourself that. Has he duped you? He's duped me more than once. More than twice. We'll stop at that. I don't want to keep going. How many times he's tricked me. You know, one of the chief dangers in the way of the fool, walking in the way of the fool, is that we don't see the way of sinners as foolish if we don't have wisdom from God. We won't see it. We won't recognize it as foolish. We'll think there's nothing wrong with it. That's not bad. And I hear Christians argue that all the time. There's nothing wrong with that. I know the Bible forbids it, the Bible condemns it, but there's nothing wrong with it in this instance. For me, and we make excuses for it, there's nothing wrong with it. It's because we don't have wisdom from God. Proverbs 1:1, it says, the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. Why did he write this? To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity. Verse 5, a wise man will hear and will increase learning. A man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. See, if we don't have wisdom from God, we're not going to see the things that sinners do as foolish, and we won't protect ourselves from it. Have any of you ever gone to pet a dog before that wagging its tail looked nice? You go up, you put your hand up, and they almost bite your hand, or maybe you've been bitten. I've done that before. Remember, I was like 8 years old. I forget where we were at. We were visiting some small town here in New Mexico, and it was like a tourist town. Everyone's walking around going from store to store, and there was these stray dogs just laying there, and one of them was just laying there, and I walked up to it, and I went like that to pet it, and that thing just snapped at me so fast, and I barely pulled my hand back in time. See, there was a danger there I didn't realize, and after that, my parents came up to me and said, you can't just go pet those dogs. You don't know what they're going to do. And since then, I have not. I don't. I guard myself from dogs as they come at me. I don't know, but I've been bitten by a dog. My friend's dog attacked me before, and thank God it wasn't that bad. It didn't really, it broke the skin a little, but I'm just saying, see, we don't realize there's a danger there. We're going to go right towards it and go, oh, everything's fine. I mean, I can think of my pastor describing his son when he was like 2 or 3 years old. They were staying at a hotel, and they went walking past the pool, and his son just went running at 2 and just jumped into the pool. He didn't know there was danger there. He didn't realize it was dangerous. And he had to reach in and grab him and pull him out. My son's done that before. I think he's in the other building, though. I mean, that kid just, no fear, he just ran out there and just leaped in. I was like, oh man, I got to jump in and get him. Because they don't know there's a danger there. So if we don't have wisdom from God, we're not going to know that something's dangerous. We're not going to avoid it. We'll be deceived by the temporal and immediate. What's going to satisfy me right now? As God's children, we need to exercise discernment and prudence. Discernment is the ability to tell the difference between good and evil. That's what discernment is. You can tell the difference between good and evil. There's a lot of people that can't. You think, oh, I can. I hope so. Well, how do we know it? Right here. This is why we want to be effective students of the Bible. This is going to teach us the difference between good and evil. I read you the verse earlier when we were this morning, Hebrews 5:14, but strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised. See, they're using it and their senses are exercised for what? To discern both good and evil. To tell the difference between good and evil, between the holy and the profane. Okay, we need discernment. And that comes from God. Prudence is weighing the whole situation and all of the consequences. Most young people don't look at all the consequences. They just, go running headlong. Hey, let me just run and jump in that pool. I don't know if I'll drown or not. But here I go. That's what they do. Prudence says, no, let me stop and look ahead. Proverbs 14:15 says, the simple believeth every word. The simple. And I know I pick on teenagers a lot about this, but this is truth. And I'll say it. I was there too, okay? This was me as a teenager. By the way, this was you too when you were a teenager. The simple, you're like a blank page. You just don't know. You're ignorant. You just don't know. The worst part is you think you know it all. I wish I'd have written more stuff down when I knew everything. You know what I mean? The simple is a young person usually. We can be older and be simple about things, but we get some more wisdom and discernment, and we learn how to make proper decisions. But when you're a teenager, you're simple. You don't know. The simple believeth every word. Oh, okay, yeah, they said that. Oh, yeah, yeah. Sure, I'll go with it. We call them gullible sometimes. You know, maybe even older people, we know they're gullible. You can start telling them some story, you know. You drive by some rock or something on the side of the road. You can just start making something up and just telling them, oh, yeah, that was, you know, 400 years ago. The settlers came through and they named that thing, you know. Whatever, just start throwing stuff out. They're like, really? Wow. And you're just making stuff up. I mean, gullible, the simple. But the simple believeth every word. But the prudent man looketh well to his going. What does the prudent man do? He's looking ahead. He's weighing things. Wait a minute. What's going on up here? I mean, I always read that verse and I always think of this, you know, just walking down with your head down. You ever walked into a pole? Bam! Or walked into a branch before because you got your head down? I've done that. I did that the other day. I was walking, I was just walking and I was looking down and a branch hit me and I was like, oh man, I'm trying to get down under that thing. I mean, why? I wasn't looking where I was going. You see, when we're just looking down at the immediate, we don't see what's around us. The prudent man looketh well to his going. So we need discernment and prudence. The fool will use enticement to get you to follow him. Verse 10, my son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If they say, come with us, let us lay wait for blood, let us lurk privily for the innocent without cause, let us swallow them up alive as the grave, and whole as those that go down into the pit. We shall find all precious substance, we shall fill our houses with spoil. What do? They use enticement to get you to go. Entice means to tempt, to incite, to urge, to lead astray, to allure, to persuade. Come on, just try it. Just try it once. Come on, you'll like it. Come on, it's all right, yeah. Don't worry about it. Oh, I know your parents said don't do that, but don't worry, just try it this once. They won't know. Don't listen to your wife. Come on, you're just hanging out with the fellas. Come on. Don't worry about what she said. It's just once. Come on, you never go out. You never do anything. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Hey, it's ladies' night. Come on, let's go. Let's go. They got all the drink specials. Come on. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. You know, this is a truth we need to understand, is that sinners are aggressive proselytizers. What do you mean by that, preacher? Let me put it like this. Sinners are aggressive evangelists. They want to convert you to their way, and they're aggressive about it. If you've tried to live a holy life and live for God, and maybe you didn't grow up in a Christian home. I did not grow up in a Christian home. Okay, and I got saved and we started making a lot of changes. Now, even maybe it's not even with your family, but maybe it's with coworkers or something, and you start making changes in your life for holiness, they'll jump all over you for something that you didn't even mention to them. But you think you're better than me? You don't do this anymore? What, do you think you're better than us? And they'll jump all over you about what you believe, and you didn't even tell them anything. They'll proselytize you, and then once they know that, they're going to work to get you to do wrong. They almost want to watch you crash and burn. That's not fair! Yeah, it's not, but deal with it. That's life. That's how they work. Sinners are aggressive proselytizers. They're going to try and get you. I remember one time I was in somewhere I shouldn't have been, doing things I shouldn't have done. I remember watching this one girl. Everyone was pressuring her to drink, and she did not want to. And everyone was pressuring her. Everyone. Just come on, just do it, just do it, just do it, just do it, just do it. And I remember she just broke down and started crying because of all the pressure everyone was putting on her to do it. Why? Everyone wanted her to do wrong with them. Sinners are aggressive proselytizers. We need to remember that. Understand that. They're not going to be content with you just saying, well, okay, I'll just do this little bit. You say, good. They'll cave. Come on, now more. And they'll keep pulling you and dragging you. By the way, that fits with the gay agenda too and what they're wanting. You take it back all the way to the 90s. Oh, we just don't make it illegal. I mean, there used to be laws in every state that sodomy was illegal. Hey, just legalize that. Okay. We don't want gay marriage. That's what they said. We don't want gay marriage. Yes, they do. When they're pushing for gay marriage, they're saying, well, we're not going to make you. You won't be forced to accept it. Just give a little. So now, oh, gay marriage now. Now what? Now we're being forced to accept it. They're aggressive proselytizers. Hope it doesn't bother you that I'll mention some of these things often about gay marriage and things of that nature, because if that's where the devil's attacking, that's where we need to stand. They're beating that drum nonstop all the time. Boom, 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 boom. Pounding it down our face, and we just keep backing up and keep backing up and never say anything. We need to speak up and say, no, that's wrong. And we don't need to be mean and harsh towards them, but we need to stand boldly and not give an inch. It's wrong. It's not right. It's never right. God doesn't condone it. God says it's an abomination. You want to live in that, that's God's judgment on you. God's giving you over to that. But the fool uses enticement and he proselytizes aggressively. And it's sinners that are the ones doing the enticing. Remember that. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. That should set off the warning bells right there. And when it's somebody that you know doesn't walk with God, somebody you know doesn't love God, and they're trying to get you to do wrong, the warning bells in your head should be going ding, 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 ding. I mean, the red alarm just should just be going off like crazy, letting you know, wait a minute, maybe I shouldn't follow this person who doesn't love God. I know they don't love God. They've never loved God. They never mention anything good. Everything out of their mouth is filth. Why would I listen to them? It's sinners. And I'm not saying that we're not all sinners. What I'm saying is those people that just love sin and run after it. Not a saved person, not a redeemed person that sins but is seeking to follow God. Oh, a lost person. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. That should tell you right there, I'm not going that way. Because it's wicked, ungodly people that are trying to get me to go that way. It's the lost crowd. Those that hate God. Don't forget that sinners can come in very attractive packaging. Don't forget that. Sinners can come in very attractive packaging. Save your spot in Proverbs and go to 2 Corinthians 11. Sinners come in very attractive packaging. And sin comes in attractive packaging. But look at this. 2 Corinthians 11:14. It says, "And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light." He's transformed into an angel of light. Something that looks good. Something that looks right. Something that looks proper. That's what he's transformed into. And he'll do the same with sin. And this specifically is teaching about false teachers that are going to come in. They're going to come looking right. They're going to come with the right words to say. I mean, I look and I think of our current president. He's a good speaker. He is. He can speak good. But the things coming out of his mouth are destructive to the direction of this nation. And I thought that back in 2008 when he got in. I said, I don't think that he's necessarily going to be the one to destroy our nation. But he's definitely going to point us in a whole nother direction. And that's what he's done. That's what he's done. You might not agree with that statement or not. You might like President Obama. I do not. I'm not a fan of his at all. But he's a good speaker. He is. He's charismatic. People like him. But Satan himself is transformed as an angel of light. Saying, "Preacher, are you saying President Obama's the Antichrist?" I didn't say that. People jump to all sorts of conclusions about that stuff. But Satan is transformed as an angel of light, I'll say that. He's going to make it look good. This is the description of Satan. It's found in Ezekiel 28:12. "Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord God, thou sealest up the sum full of wisdom and perfect in beauty." It's describing Satan before he fell, when he was Lucifer. "You are full of wisdom and perfect in beauty." He looks good. He's transformed as an angel of light. He probably was the most beautiful creation that God had made. Because he looked around and he said, "Man, look at the rest of you. None of you compare to me." It was his pride. "I'll be like the Most High." Sin comes in an attractive package. And sinners do. I'm just telling you, they don't put ugly people in beer commercials. Have you seen them? I haven't. They just don't. Satan's a master at packaging sin to look good. But our protection, though, is to not give consent to the sinner. "My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not." Don't give approval to that. Don't say it's okay. Don't back up all timid and shy and be like, "Oh, well, I'm not going to do it, but I'll just kind of stand over here in the corner." No, speak up for the Lord. Stand for righteousness. That's why sin tramples all over us and is out there everywhere we see it. It's taking over our society. Why? Because Christians don't stand for righteousness. We have to. "My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not." It means don't give your approval of it. Back up, say, "I'm not doing that. That's wrong." And then let the firestorm begin. They can say what they want, but it's wrong. Well, why do you think it's wrong? The Bible says it's wrong. God says it's wrong. I don't believe in God. I don't care. I mean, when people tell me, "I don't believe in God," just tell them this. Seriously, tell them. "So, what if me and you were walking down the street and someone came up and pulled a gun on us? And they said, 'Give me your money.' And I looked at them and I said, I looked over at you and I said, 'Hey, don't worry about this guy. I don't believe in guns.'" Think about it. If I don't believe in guns and the guy's got a gun pointed at me, does that change the fact that the gun can hurt me? No. So just because someone says, I don't believe in God. So it doesn't change the fact. I don't believe in gravity. It's holding you down though. Doesn't matter. Consent thou not. We give our consent because we fear man. What will my friends think if I don't go along? What will they think if I stand against it even more than just not go along? They're going to think I'm some Bible thumper. Amen! Amen! That wouldn't be a bad thing. Man, they might think you actually love God. They might think you love His Word. Amen. Bible says we're to earnestly contend for the faith. That means get in the battle and fight for truth. Not physically fight and punch people, but with our words. Contend for the faith once delivered to the saints. Ephesians 5:11 says, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Reprove means to blame to the face. So it's not just, hey, my son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Yes, we do that. We back up, but we also reprove. We blame it to the face. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of righteousness. None. I'm going to have nothing to do with that. Why? It'll hurt me. It'll harm me. You don't have to live through something to know that it's bad. It bothers me that I've had people say, you know, to people, oh, you know, I'd rather hear from a preacher who's lived in sin and done all these things than a preacher that hasn't. That's the biggest bunch of nonsense. I hate even hearing that. Get your heart right with God, because if a man of God's up preaching the Word of God, it'll bless you. It'll help you. It doesn't matter what they've been through. That's more of the grace of God that kept that preacher or whoever it is out of all that garbage than someone that had to run into it to realize, I shouldn't be in this, and God pulled them out. Yeah, He saves them both the same way. You don't have to experience something to know it's bad. You don't. The book of Proverbs says it's wisdom when you can look at what someone else does and realize, I shouldn't do that. I mean, again, I've given the illustration before. You know, I don't have to have my head run over by a tractor trailer to realize that's going to be harmful for my life. I don't need to experience it to know it's going to hurt. I can realize, maybe I shouldn't do that. You don't have to take the first drink. The first drink of alcohol. You don't have to do that. You know, every drunk that ever got to that point started with one drink. Okay? That's where he started. You don't have to smoke that first thing. Okay? You don't have to do it. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Hey, turn and run. Turn and run. There's times when it's not, I'm not going to contend for the faith here. I'm just out of here. Poof, I'm gone. I don't need to be a part of this. I am out of here as quick as can be. Consent thou not. But we reprove them. That word reprove, as I said, means to blame to the face. There is a time when you stand for righteousness and then they, well, how come you don't do that? Tell them. The Bible condemns it. The Bible forbids it. I can't sin against my God. That's what Joseph said when Pharaoh's, what's his name? I forget the guy's name. When his wife came to get him, Potiphar's wife came after him. She said, I can't do that and sin against my God. It wasn't her God. But he didn't just stand there and say, no, no. I can't sin against my God. Do you love your God? Do you fear sinning against Him? Then earnestly contend for the faith. Consent thou not. Reprove those wicked deeds. And I don't have time to go any farther. There's still a lot more. But my son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Don't go in the way that they go. Their way is destruction.